The Ku Klux Klan killed my little girl. Now I'm alone in this hostile world. My plan for vengeance may seem odd, but with the help of God, I will destroy him from within. Disguise myself and be the Black Klansman. And the Klan will ride this night, living their big life, burning cross upon a hill, guiltless people now. Why can't they learn to love and understand? What type of fool could find good in the
All right, welcome to Mysterious Dreams, your number one podcast for everything weird, bizarre, strange, creepy, bad, awful, smelly, and funny on Netflix streaming services, as well as other streaming services. I'm your host, Nicholas Peterson.
And I'm Mary Peterson.
And you can find our podcast, you can find it on iTunes, you can find us at our homepage, at thecriticsword.com, and you can also find us at podmatic.com. To participate in the discussion of a film, past, present, or future, you can email me at mimekiller@gmail.com. All right, so this week we are talking about The Black Klansman. It's a 1966 blaxploitation film. It is on Netflix Instant Viewing. And it was a really, really, really good film. I enjoyed it a lot.
I dug it. It was better than freaking Arena. That was for sure.
Yeah, nothing's quite as bad as Arena. But Black Klansman is the tale. It opens up. We meet Jerry, a light-skinned African American, and I say light-skinned because it is important to the plot. I'm not just pointing it out.
Yeah, like super light-skinned.
It's pretty light-skinned. Although it's a black and white movie too, so
there is that. Yeah.
So maybe he's not quite as a.
Quite as light-skinned as we think he is.
So it opens with Jerry. He's a musician in Los Angeles, dating a white woman who wants desperately to have his kids, although he has all these complicated reasons. I think he just doesn't want any more kids. Yeah, he has other kids, who we'll talk about later, that he doesn't seemingly take care of in Los Angeles, at least. So Jerry's in Los Angeles doing his thing. Although, meanwhile, back in the South, his hometown, that's in an unnamed city in an unnamed state.
It's just the South.
It's just the South.
For the purposes of this movie, the only two places that exist in the world are Los Angeles and the South.
Yeah. I kept on trying to find out, where is this place? Because I kept on thinking I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. No, it's never mentioned.
It's never mentioned, and very explicitly at the end, he says, to jump way ahead of the end, he goes, I belong here. I belong in the South. And it's like, all right, well, that's like, that's at least 15 or 20 states, I guess.
Each day he just goes to a different part of the South and just lives there for a day.
I know. I belong here. North America is my home. What? So, that's Jerry. He's in
L.A.
L.A. So, Albert is in the hometown of the South. We'll call it just the South. Albert's in the South, in the bad part of town, Shantytown. And the Civil Rights Act had just passed. And he's so jazzed about it, he wants to finally drink a cup of coffee in the whites-only diner.
Which is, I agree with, at one point his mother is trying to stop him from doing this very foolhardy thing.
He's very idealistic. He goes to hang out in a bar where some of his more, it's a black bar, where some of his more radical friends try to tell him that
it's his brother. It's his brother. Yeah.
That it doesn't matter if they pass this law in Washington. We're in the South. where laws don't matter.
Yeah, obviously.
And so, but Albert ignores everyone. He goes and gets a cup of coffee.
He's like, you know what? If it's in their newspaper, then it must be true. So I'm going to go get a cup of coffee, damn it.
Very principled, very heroic. Albert tries to get a cup of coffee. He can't. They treat him like a jerk because this is the South.
One point, one of the patrons does that age-old thing. If you ignore it, it'll go away.
Oh, yeah. There's
That's literally a line in this scene. He's telling, the white man is telling his friends, if you just ignore it, it'll go away. Like, really?
Yeah, they're being very cartoonish characters.
Very, very. It's, very, very cartoonish. I agree.
So, he doesn't get his cup of coffee. Not only that, but he's killed by the Ku Klux Klan shortly thereafter.
Yep, he's, is it lynched, I imagine he was, right? Or was he just shot? No, he was shot and then he was hung. That's what it was.
Exactly.
He was shot and then he was hung.
So, if that wasn't insult enough, which already, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
At his funeral, they firebomb it. They killing him wasn't enough. They had the firebomb as a poor funeral.
It's poor funeral. Wow.
And that's where Jerry, going back to Jerry, that's where his daughter is murdered in this firebombing.
She was set on fire.
She's on fire. She's dead. And that kicks off the Jerry's part of the film where he hears about this. He gets a call. He's with his girlfriend in their hotel room, and she's bugging him about something.
She's bugging him about kids, which, ironically, up until this point when his daughter is murdered, there's no mention of the fact that he has a kid already. There's no, like, look, you know, I've already got this one kid.
Did it ever explain why he left the kid? I assume just
pursuit. That was another thing. It was never said why. It's like, you know what? I'm a jazz musician. This is what jazz musicians do. We go to L.A. and forget all of our responsibilities back in the South.
Well, I'll tell you, that works for me. So Jerry's trying to live his life, and this shrew is bothering him about children. And bugging him, and he gets the phone call that his little daughter has been murdered by the KKK.
Here's my issue with that scene. So she's bugging him about having his kids. Up until this point, there's no mention that he even has a family. But yet when he gets the call, he's visibly upset. And he's like, oh, ironically, his daughter's name is Mary. Yes, little Mary has gotten herself all burnt up.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, oh no, not Mary, Mary's dead. And his girlfriend is fully aware of the fact that he has a child.
Yeah.
But there's been no mention of it up until this point. I have issue with that.
Why do you have an issue with that?
Because it's not, I would be okay if like, oh man, he totally had this kid back in the South, he didn't tell her about it, and now it's all blown up because she's been murdered. But it's like, nope, we've come into this already established that he has a child that he takes no responsibility for. He's kind of like Dexter with his kids.
Were you confused by this?
Well, no, I was just really upset by this.
Well, I wasn't.
It's kind of like Dexter with his kid. Yeah. You just kind of see him in one scene and it's like, oh, well, yeah, you know that kid I just happen to have.
Dexter from the TV show, the Showtime original series, Dexter.
Yes.
That's what you're referring to.
Yes.
Wow, going for the references.
I assumed that people that listen to our podcast know what Dexter is.
There's also Dexter's Laboratory. So.
Which is a children's show, and why would a child have a child?
You never saw the episode where Dexter fathered a bastard child in his laboratory?
No, because it doesn't exist.
It exists.
I demand to see proof of this.
Man, what are you confusing me talking about other shows?
To get back to it, his daughter is killed, and he gets the phone call that she has been burned up.
Yeah. So Jerry gets the phone call, and he's obviously upset, and his girlfriend just tells him to chill out, calm down. Like, because he's like, I'm going to go back, I'm going to kill him. And she's like, calm down. He's like, you tell me to...
a white woman, is telling me to calm down?
And then he just starts, breaks up with her. I called it the Chris Brown style of breaking up, where he starts choking her out, yelling, white. It sounds brutal. It's just, he's just screaming white.
As he's choking her out.
So he leaves. He comes up with a plan. He hatches a plan. He is going to, because he's so light-skinned, he's going to get a wig on, a white man wig.
Shave off his goatee.
And get a suit. which will allow him to pass.
It magically transform him into a white man.
He will pass as a white man and infiltrate the KKK in order to find out. He already knows the KKK killed his daughter.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why I say this is a half-baked plan. There's no end game to it. There's no rational reason why he would infiltrate the KKK. It's not like one person that's barely getting initiated into it has any kind of, like, power to, like, disband it from the inside. Or even do anything. He's just like, you know what? I'm a light-skinned brother. I'm gonna go join the KKK because they killed my daughter. That's really all that happens.
I would say it would make more sense if he was infiltrating the KKK to find out if they killed his daughter. It was a mystery. But he seems like he knows who killed it, who killed his daughter. But he's gonna infiltrate it anyway. So he goes back to his hometown. He makes contact with the local authorities, and he starts his infiltration scheme.
The scene between the pastor of the church that got bombed and the man that I'm assuming is the mayor and the sheriff was probably the funniest scene to me, because the pastor is, you know, very upset. He wants to know what's going to be done about it. He wants to have the mayor basically make the sheriff do his job. And the sheriff, what does he call it? He calls it, he's like, oh, you
Shantytown.
Mean that... I thought it was Shacktown.
Shantytown, Shacktown.
Shacktown, whatever. He calls it something absolutely hilarious like
that. I think
that.
You're right, Shacktown.
It might be Shacktown. And the mayor does that thing where he looks at the sheriff and he's like, now, sheriff, there's no such place in my town that's called Shacktown. Wink.
Is that your southern expression?
It is. I'm very bad southern.
No, I can... No, it's... You nailed it. I think it's perfect.
But he just does that thing that I love. He's just like... You know, in front of this black preacher, we're not going to say that we call it Shacktown. Like, there's no Shacktown in here. We don't call any part of Maya.
In here, the South.
Yes, in the South, because that's all that exists, is the South.
No,
of Los
no name of towns, no.
Nope.
Such a bizarre. I don't know why they would feel the need to dance around. Well, you know, they seem like they didn't want to step on anyone's toes, because this isn't even an official chapter of the KKK. They mentioned that this is a separate group that's separate.
Somebody that doesn't want to be, what do they call their main KKK guy? It's like the Imperial Wizard or something.
I always honestly forget how gay the KKK is until like I hear what they call themselves. But
the Imperial Wizard,
yeah.
That makes me laugh.
Jeez, yeah. The Grand
and I looked
Imperial.
It up. That's literally what the name is. I was unaware of
no, that. No, that man, I the KKK to me, yeah, about
that's
as queer
hilarious.
As a three-legged dog, but.
Ironically, they hate other three-legged dogs.
That is ironic. But hey, if you want to dress up in white robes and call each other Grand Imperial, boo-ha-ha, I guess it's a...
Wasn't one of the dudes in this movie, his title was like a cyclone or something, some kind of crazy shenanigans?
Oh, man, they have so many crazy nicknames for each other and all their crazy suits. It's weird. That's especially true. The purple ones, because I think the Grand... Not that I know too much about the KKK... But I think the Grand Imperial Wizard wears like a purple robe, as if it couldn't get any gayer. But
the fact that you know so much about this really makes me question my marriage.
I've seen a lot of Geraldo Rivera. And he instructed
me. Oh, Geraldo.
It was Geraldo the guy who got his nose broke by someone in the KKK, right?
I think so.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that that's who it was.
All right. So, while this is going on with Jerry, there's another plot afoot in this town to get some revenge on the KKK.
And these Klansmen, they're not doing much to win the commoners' love.
They're not. So, Albert, if you remember, is the original kid who was killed.
Yeah.
His brother contacts some gangsters from Harlem. And
was it stated that they were from Harlem?
Yep, Harlem gangsters.
Oh, I must have missed that part. So, in this universe, Harlem, L.A., and the South are the only three existing.
So, Harlem gangsters ride into town, and their plan is simple. They're just going to shoot the KKK whenever they can find it.
See, I like that plan so much better than, like, oh man, I know who killed my daughter, but I'm still going to infiltrate her for no reason whatsoever.
Well, he wants to be sneaky. So, then we end up in a situation where... Jerry is infiltrating the KKK, and the Harlem gangsters are in town. And to add even more complications, Jerry's girlfriend from Los Angeles comes into town, and she starts getting involved with the Harlem gangsters and that part of the Shantytown. Or, excuse me, Shacktown. Shanktown.
Shacktown.
Not Shatner. It's Shatnertown. They all live in William Shatnertown, and William Shatner's in charge.
I'm so glad you ended that sentence with William Shatnertown and not something else.
What else would I was going to end it with?
I don't know, but I was so hoping it was going to be town and not something completely ridiculous.
Anyway, so Jerry's girlfriend's living in William Shatnertown now, and she's trying to just find Jerry. But of course, they haven't seen him because he's pretending to be a white dude.
Yeah, I mean, potentially you could mess up this entire dude's plan.
She's not, she didn't really, bulb in the bunch. I mean, she didn't take getting choked out for an answer, but, by the way, he never apologizes for choking her out.
Why would he?
That's true. Why would he indeed? And so, there's a lot of complications, some back and forth, some KKK rallies get, ambushed by the Harlem gangsters, and it all comes to a head after the, white girl, Jerry's girlfriend, sneaks some black guys over a checkpoint, and Jerry finally realizes that maybe his plan needs to do something. So
he needs to refine this.
We forgot to mention, Jerry is dating the blonde daughter of the head of the KKK. So he's
maybe he plans to infiltrate it that way.
Infiltrate her through the daughter's snooch.
Yep.
The snoochy.
That's how I do it.
The snooch. It's called the snooch slither. Is when you
sneak into a snooch slither. That's brilliant. Yeah, dude. Think about it. He hooks up with the blonde daughter. They have a baby. The baby turns out half black. Ayo.
And then you just go. You just go. Whammy.
Revenge done.
And you drop the mic and walk away.
Yep. Revenge done.
All right. So all these things are coming into play, and at the end of the film, Jerry finally takes action because. Some of the black guys are captured from Shacktown. I'm just going to call it whatever I want.
Dude, William Shatnertown.
William Shatnertown. And the boss of the KKK is going to hang them, but Jerry decides enough is enough, pulls out his gun, tells them, ha ha ha, I'm black, takes off his wig, and the guy goes, oh my god, you're dating my daughter. I'm going to dry heave for the next 20 minutes thinking about that.
Which, by the way, before he takes off his wig, it's like he has a gun, and it's him against six other dudes. Really? You expect me to believe? Now, maybe I'm underestimating the fear people have about guns, but I feel like you could rush him at once. He can't shoot all of you.
You know, there is a psychological, not to bring this podcast down on a serious note, but any place, any country where there's genocide, any country, you get this situation where you have only a few guards with guns able to round up hundreds of people to kill them, and they know they're going to die, and it only takes a couple people to round people up to kill them.
That never makes any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to anyone, but it's just a weird psychological thing. It's like, well, I can live now, or I can die for sure. It's a weird psychological conditioning, but it happens. It happens to people.
Even in the South?
Even in the country of the South. Even in Shatnertown. So he has the gun on the main KKK guy. He explains, not only have I been slipping it to your daughter, but I am black. You killed my
widow Mary.
My widow Mary. Prepare to die.
So this guy just hits his knees, sniveling. Just, please, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, clutching his little pointy hat. And Jerry's like, all right, I'm not going to kill you because, you know, my plan isn't completely,
My plan is complete shatters anyway.
Yeah, might as well not even kill you. Not even to fall through with it.
So then we get a
so then engine. He tells him to take down the two black dudes that they're gonna hang. Which, you know, you can really trust one of these KKK guys to do that.
Never trust a KKK guy to unhang a black guy.
Yeah.
I think it's the real,
that's the rule of thumb.
They're into hanging, not really into unhanging.
So the guy, he gets in the truck and he drives off and hangs him anyway.
Yeah.
And then he runs over Jerry's hand.
Yeah, and then Jerry has to shoot him in the head. Anyway. Which he should have done earlier, and then he would have saved a couple more lives.
Yep. But, Jerry. And then your half-baked ideas.
And then the movie ends with Jerry... his girlfriend saying, well, now that you've gotten revenge, let's go back to Los Angeles. He goes, no, like, I'm needed in the South. Needed in the South doing what? I wasn't quite sure. He's going to be a jazz musician.
And then somewhere out of this...
Oh, the mayor showed
up. Yeah, the mayor shows up.
Who's being an asshole earlier.
The entire time. And the pastor. I'm like, where the hell were you fools when I was trying to get this guy down and hang these guys?
Yeah, so the mayor comes up.
He's just hiding in bushes, just watching the whole thing.
The mayor sees where the wind is blowing in Shatnertown, and he...
hitches his ride to that Shatner rocket. Yeah,
he tells all the black folk, hey, you know what, I actually love you guys. You guys are great. Please vote for me the next election. I hear you guys are getting the vote, so please vote.
I love in that little exchange between them, the overemphasis on the word friend when they're referring to the mayor.
Oh, here's our white friend, and he's like, please vote for me.
Yeah.
Please. I can see the times, they are a-changing.
Oh, yes.
So the movie closes on a happy note. Jerry's going to stay behind and keep on killing KKK members and playing a saxophone, I assume. I don't know what else. He doesn't really have a real
job. Yeah, again, no real plan, no real clear direction of where he's going to go. Just whatever pops into that head of his.
Yep, that's it. So that pretty much wraps up the Black Klansman.
Like to say this. I did a little bit of research. There's not a lot of information on this movie from what I could find.
No.
But I did think that it's funny that it was originally released under the name I Crossed the Color Line. I thought that was brilliant.
Which is not quite as snappy as Black Klansman, but it's still a pretty good title.
But here's the best part of this. So I Crossed the Color Line. I can kind of see it in a weird way. I can kind of see it. How that could be a good name.
Okay.
The tagline for this movie, however, is what kills me. It says, this is Andrea. She had to have his love, even though her baby might be black. Who the hell is Andrea?
Yeah.
And how is that central to a story of a man infiltrating the KKK because they murdered
his kid? Andrea might, in fairness, Andrea might have been the girlfriend, although that wasn't really the emphasis of the movie.
At all.
So you can see why they probably changed it.
I hope they changed it.
So that's...
Because that's a ridiculous tagline.
All right, that's Black Klansman. One more movie in the books. Very, very fun movie. Very exciting. If it sounds like we're making fun of it, that's just because that's what we do.
And because it's so easy to make fun of this movie.
But it's like not even an hour and a half. It's 85 minutes long. I highly recommend it.
Very much so.
It's going to be a fun ride, especially if you're... If you're not familiar with blaxploitation of films in this era of American cinema, it's a decent introduction into the genre. And we'll be covering some more blaxploitation films later in the podcast. But next, we're going to be doing the film Shoot. Shoot is a casino drama that came out in the early 90s. I have never heard of it. The only reason we're watching it is because it's the only other movie I can find from the director of Shakuma.
Movie was brilliant.
So there's your connection. So we're going to do Shoot Nicks. Maybe it'll be boring, maybe fun. I don't know.
I have high hopes for this movie.
Why?
Because Shakma.
I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be more casino hijinks than Killer Monkeys.
Yeah, but if this guy can make a Killer Monkey awesome, I feel like he can make casino hijinks be equally awesome.
All right, so we'll be doing Shoot. This is officially our last podcast for the month. Thanks for joining it. We're looking at the view counters, and we're seeing the view counts... going up slowly but surely. It's going up. So that's exciting.
Thank you. Tell your friends.
Please email and participate in the discussion, and we'll talk to you next time about Shoot. All right, have a great day.
See ya.
Say bye.
Bye.